comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome one and all to episode 7 of Nerds United. Greg Mahochko here for this one. And I got to say, I'm going to start things off. I hope it's a good show because it's my favorite single digit. Number 7, and I don't know why, but it, for many years, has been my favorite single digit. My favorite number is 36. We got a ways to go before we get to episode 36. And at the rate that I've been recording and posting shows, we'll get to episode 36 in 2017. No, hopefully it's not that far off. Hopefully I find that rhythm, But I've been doing a new job out of the full-time radio game and working in a factory. So finding the studio time, first of all, is difficult. Secondly, I'm working eight and a half hour days. So there's that to consider as well. But hey, I'm here. It's a Saturday when I'm recording and bringing this one to you. And going to talk about a few things in the realm of superhero movies. That's where we're going to focus on today, this week, this show, this episode, whatever. And by the way, I appreciate everybody's support, everybody who listens to the show, shares it with your friends. Hopefully in the coming weeks, months, whatever, we have some more giveaways for you as I work and talk with more of my friends in the comic industry. We'll work on that for you, but again, I appreciate the support you've given and the patience, and I'm sure you'd like more shows more often, but we'll see what we can do. So anyway, let's jump into things. Last night, I had a night off, even though I had to be, I pulled some overtime this morning, so I had to be in bed early, but had the night off, and so my wife and I rented The Wolverine. Came out this summer. It was, I don't know, I guess you can call it the sequel to X-Men Origins Wolverine. I don't know, linearly speaking, how they line up. And I think there were a lot more points taken from the Bryan Singer movie, the original X-Men trilogy, if you will. A lot of dream sequences that included Jean Grey. A lot of references to, The Last Stand. X-Men Last Stand, which came out a few years ago. And for the most part, I enjoyed the movie. I regret to say that having worked the kind of week that I worked, I'm a bit tired, so I actually turned it off and went to bed. It was getting late, too. I was probably asleep by 9:30 last night, so I didn't finish. I plan on finishing it this afternoon, so don't worry. I'll have that for you. But I enjoyed it. It was a bit of a departure from anything that I was really, or anything that I had seen as far as, you know, the Wolverine. A bit of Logan in the wilderness, you know, towards the beginning there, and he gets taken to Japan and cleaned up and whatnot. And I like to say spoiler alert, but since the movie came out in the summer, hopefully you've seen it by now. But if not, I will try not to ruin things for you because it was one I think that kind of got overlooked in the summer blockbuster season. So I'll do my best. Obviously Iron Man 3 was a big hit, and there are a couple others, Star Trek Into Darkness, whatever, Man of Steel certainly. So I'll try not to spoil it just in case you haven't seen it. But anyway, comes across basically the who you think is the main villain for much of the movie is not. And the main villain is a female, a blonde female by the name of Viper. And I'm not 100% familiar with Viper. It was kind of an introduction to me to that character. But I enjoyed what Viper, her abilities are various. And she can do a lot of different things. And sometimes that's I don't know. Sometimes that can be problematic in that, you know, when you can do everything, you know, it's very much like Superman. When you can do everything, how do you stop somebody who can do everything? Well, I don't know, because I turned it off before I got to that point. So I I can't spoil too much because I haven't obviously seen the whole movie, but introduced a couple of nice characters from the X-Men universe, particularly from the, you know, Logan's storyline. And I got to go back to the 1990s. When I'd come home from school, I'd plop my butt on the couch and I would watch the X-Men animated series. And for me, that's where a lot of this began. I don't know why, but in the 90s growing up, I was a big X-Men fan. And I remember one particular was a two-parter where Logan and a couple of the other X-Men had to go underground. There was an alien spaceship that had landed there or been found there that had landed there previously, and he was battling Yurio or working with Yurio. Anyway, reunited with Yurio, and she makes an appearance and has a pivotal role in the Wolverine. So I can't give it a rating, you know, like 4 stars or anything like that, because I haven't seen the end of it. But again, enjoyed it. Good action. Hugh Jackman, I think he was more ripped for that movie than for the first X-Men movie he did way back so many years ago. So, again, a lot of good things for that one. Obviously, I'm more excited for X-Men Days of Futures Past, which you need to pull up if you haven't yet pulled up a trailer for that one. I'll have a trailer associated, at least a link, on this post on the website. You can check out the trailer that I'm about to talk about here in a couple minutes. But if you haven't seen the trailer for Days of Future Past, that looks amazing. You're talking about blending the First Class movie with the Bryan Singer stuff, you know, from the original X-Men trilogy, and bringing it all together. That one's going to be good. I'm already staking my claim that that might be the best X-Men movie to be made, certainly up to that point. Want to change gears here, sticking in the Marvel Universe, going to talk about The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Saw a trailer for Amazing Spider-Man 2 a couple of nights ago, happened to watch it on my phone. First of all, you've got Electro, which we knew about, Jamie Foxx. You've got Rhino, which we knew about, Paul Giamatti, which is I used the term departure earlier, but that's, you know, showing his range a little bit as an actor. You're talking about, you know, a guy who just kind of always been, and I respect Paul Giamatti. I'm kind of a fan, but he's always been kind of that little quirky, I don't know, whack job. If you've ever seen the movie Sideways, he basically played a wino who was a struggling writer and trying to make good on that while, you know, all the fun and adventures along the way. So Paul Giamatti as Rhino, and in it's my understanding that in Amazing Spider-Man 2, Rhino is more of a Russian mobster. I mean, he's bald, he's tracksuit, tattooed, you know, all that good stuff. And I'm sitting there for the longest time, and I'm wondering, how in the world are they going to turn Paul Giamatti into the Rhino? You know, as far as, again, my basic understanding of rhinos from what watching the Amazing Spider-Man cartoon in the 90s, or Spider, whatever it was called. You know, Spider-Man. Wait, no, that's the old Spider-Man cartoon. I was going to get my Spider-Man mixed up, but you know which one I'm talking about. It was one that ran in the 90s. Anyway, so, you know, obviously big hulking guy in a gray suit, you know, with the rhino-ish horn. And I like where they're going with this, because it answers a lot of questions that I had regarding Giamatti. I mean, is it some genetic experiment gone wrong? How do you turn Paul Giamatti, you know, mobster, into Paul Giamatti rhino, you know, force to be reckoned with? And this is not a spoiler because it's in the trailer, but the answer is a gigantic metal suit. Think exosuit. I mean, it's this thing's massive. It's obviously bigger than Iron Man's suit. Probably more like the villain's size in the first Iron Man movie. It's about that size. I mean, this thing's massive, and of course it's you can see the welded steel and the horn that comes out on the top there, and you see Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, or at least CGI as Spider-Man, whipping through. And I think he's going to rake him with a manhole cover. So that's cool. Electro, learning more and more about Electro. Jamie Foxx as Electro is a really good idea. They went away from the green and yellow spandex with the yellow bolt or star shape on the forehead. And most of what I see looks like he's kind of wearing a hood, blue, very bolty. You can see the veins as the electricity, you know, courses through him. I like what they're doing with the character. And again, like I said, I'm learning more. You see in the trailer that Electro is jumping from power coil to power coil and has this, you know, ability to fire electric bolts, you know, out. So looking at some good things from Electro. And then they're also throwing the Green Goblin in the mix. And not only that, but in the trailer, you see the Goblin and you see these vaults opening up. And they're numbered 2, I think you see 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6. And if that's possible, then you're looking at potential Sinister Six. And at one point, the character who is wearing a long jacket and a hat is walking through in these, walking past these openings. You see the Doc Ock, you know, brace piece, you know, with the arms. You see the Vulture's wings. You're seeing all this stuff, and they're laying some good groundwork, I think, over there in Sony for possible future installments of the Amazing Spider-Man series. So, again, good things. I was surprisingly a big fan of the first Amazing Spider-Man and looking forward to more things. And I like the idea that Gwen Stacy knows who Spider-Man is, who Peter Parker is. So we're going to find out a little bit more in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 about the origins of Peter Parker's father and his connection, because it's all connected in there. You find out that Oscorp has been having Peter Parker under surveillance. So, again, just a lot of things. I'm not giving any spoilers in this. Obviously, nothing to spoil. It's all in the trailer. You can check the trailer out on jitterymonkey.com on the Nerds United. Actually, on this post right now. Probably. You may have even paused it, scrolled down, watched the video, and come back. If that's the case, welcome back. Anyway, so the one final thing that I wanted to discuss was it was announced that they had cast an Israeli actress and model to be Wonder Woman, and which is fine. I have no problem with the Wonder Woman character. My problem is that they're going to put Wonder Woman in the next Man of Steel movie, where they also have Batman. And my problem with it is I don't think you have a marquee matchup. You have a headlining event. Stole everything from Comic-Con. I mean, it all as soon as it was announced, the Batman would be joining Superman in that Man of Steel sequel. The world went crazy because we haven't seen this before on the big screen. Do you need to throw any other heroes in there? My answer, my opinion anyway, is no. But anyway, let me tell you who it was that was cast. Gal Gadot, and I hope that I'm pronouncing that correctly, but if not, well, that's okay, because I have an odd last name that nobody can get right, so she'll get over it. But anyway, Gal Gadot will portray Wonder Woman in the upcoming Man of Steel sequel, and there's, again, I don't know, not very familiar with her work, so I can't say that she's a bad choice for Wonder Woman. I don't think she's a bad choice. It's just I don't think that you need to add a third hero into this movie when you already have Superman versus Batman, and then of course obviously the two of them realizing that they're on the same side and you know, looking to punish evildoers everywhere or whatever it is. So I'm not opposed to the Gal Gadot casting as Wonder Woman for the Zack Snyder DC comic movies. I just don't think that you need Wonder Woman in this movie. And I've heard rumors that Nightwing might make an appearance as well. And again, I'm going to go back and say it. I think if you bring in Nightwing, you have to establish it as Robin at some point. Maybe they do that maybe you have grown-up Nightwing now, and then in a future Batman, you introduce the character of Dick Grayson as a child. I think you have to go younger than they did when they made Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, and you don't bring in a 20-something-year-old Chris O'Donnell or something like that. I think you can, in this day and age, when with the times that we have, Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass had Hit Girl, and Hit Girl was played by a young lady. I don't know her name. Don't ask. But anyway, I think you can do that for a Batman sidekick in Robin. You can bring in, a 14-year-old kid, 13-year-old kid, and obviously, make it a controlled environment, certainly, but I think that you could do that. So if you bring in Nightwing, I think at some point you have to establish the origin of Robin. It's just my opinion. You can take that for what it's worth. But anyway, I don't think that you need to have the Wonder Woman character coming up in Man of Steel. I have no problem with the Wonder Woman character. It falls in, very much like Thor. It falls into my pre-existing appreciation of the ancient mythologies that we have here, the Greeks and the Romans and the Norse, obviously, with Thor. So again, I'm not saying that Wonder Woman shouldn't be. I think Wonder Woman eventually should have her own movie. I think that should be the focus, and then maybe you have Batman or Superman making a brief cameo in that. I don't think that you need to have Wonder Woman make an appearance in a Batman and Superman-dominated film where that's already got the headlines. So, anyway, those are just my thoughts. Again, this was a pretty quick podcast, but I wanted to get something out there. I wanted to touch base with y'all because I love you and I appreciate your support, and hopefully you continue to listen to the show as I put my ramblings out there, and maybe someday, and hopefully someday soon, I'll have the time and the ability to get with some of my friends and talk with them, visit with them, especially those who are creators and appreciators of the medium. And I'd really like to, continue where we start. We started this off episode when we talked to Van Jensen, who's writer for Green Lantern Corps right now. And I would love to go back, visit with him again after, he's been on the book for a few months, been on that title. And I'd love to get with some other writers. It's getting, obviously I'm not a name. I'm not anybody that's famous enough to be looked at as, we need to get this guy, we need to get this writer or artist on Greg Mahochko's Nerds United. I'm not there yet. Hopefully I'll get there soon. But I appreciate all the guests that I've had on and looking for more. And in the meantime, I'll continue to spit out my comic nerd ramblings here on Nerds United. So I appreciate you tuning in. And we'll see you on down the road next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.